Welcome to the radio ministry of Albertville First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.church. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 8:30 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
It was a moment where the mercy of God was on full display, where love outweighed the crimson stain, the sin which made communion with God impossible. This death, this stench sent from the depths would no longer be left to permeate the hearts of man. The Creator was longing for His creation. For on this day, love made a way for grace to take away, erase, replace our brokenness. For God so loved the world, He sent His only Son, the promised one had come to change our eternity. That moment in Bethlehem, in a lowly stable, under a starry sky, Jesus was born. Our Savior, our Messiah. Grace in a manger.
Every Sunday through the rest of the season, we'll begin our service with a view of the manger. It's a reminder that the Messiah King came in a manger throne, that He was King before He came. He was King when He came. He will be King again someday as well. And so we will celebrate the Messiah King. And we start our service today by singing, "All glory be to Christ our King. All glory be to Christ. His rule and reign we will ever sing. All glory be to Christ." Will you stand with us and lift your voice as we sing this worship song together?
Should nothing of our efforts stand, no legacy survive, unless the Lord does raise the house in vain, its builders strive. To you who boast tomorrow's gain, tell me, what is
sing that out. All glory be to Christ.
All glory be to Christ our King. All glory be to Christ. His rule and reign will ever see. All glory be to Christ.
His will.
Yeah.
Father God, we thank you for your son, Jesus. All glory be to the Messiah King. All glory be to the one born in a manger. All glory be to the one who went to the cross. All glory be to the one who was resurrected. All glory be to the one who will return when on that day the great I am, the faithful and the true, will come and return. Father, we celebrate that and we look forward with anticipation to that day. God, I pray that every person that's in this room, every person participating online, every person who is listening on the radio, that together we might proclaim all glory be to Jesus, the Messiah King, born in a manger throne. And so, Father, we give you the glory now. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Be seated, friends, and welcome. If you're participating online, it's an honor to have you on this holiday weekend. We're thankful that you are here. We would invite you to follow the prompts on the screen to let us know that you are there. If you are in the room, it's an honor to have you on this holiday weekend. If you're a guest, would you tear off the registration, please, in the worship guide you received and fill it out? You can turn it in just a little bit, and we would at the offering box at the back, or hand it to me. We would love to have that for a record of your being here. We're so thankful that you're here today. A few things to let you know. First of all, the church of the week that we're praying for is Lake City Assembly of God. Their pastor is Gary Kraft. I love Gary. He is a dear friend, and it's a blessing to pray with him and seven or eight other pastors. Pretty much what we do every Thursday, we gather together, and it has been a blessing to see his heart for our community, for our county, and for the nation. So pray for their ministry. Pray for God to move in power among them today, if you will. And then second, our missionaries of the week. It's a missionary group. We are a Southern Baptist church. And if you're not sure what that means, it means we're an independent church. We do not take directives from anyone else other than the Lord, but we're an independent church, but we are a cooperating body of 40,000 independent churches that gather together, and we pool our resources for missions and education and ministry. And one of the greatest ministries that we're able to be a part of is the International Mission Board. There are thousands of International Mission Board missionaries that serve all over the country, the world outside of North America. And so we want to pray for them, and we will soon begin to receive a special offering in the Christmas season called the Lottie Moon Christmas Offering for International Missions. And that is an offering where people give above and beyond their regular giving, and every penny of it goes to help fund those 4,000 or so missionaries around the world. Just to help you put a face to some of those international missionaries, even in our congregation ourselves, our own Michael and Christy Rains, they served as missionaries with the IMB in Peru and Colombia for a number of years. I think that we had earlier this year, we had Mark and Mie Busby who were here with us. Mark and Mie, who serve in Japan, they're with the International Mission Board, and they're funded through the cooperation of those churches. We took a team there earlier this year. We'll take a team again next year. We had living in our mission house for over a year, Jake and Deb Goforth. Jake and Deb are International Mission Board missionaries in Italy. We'll be taking a small team to Italy next summer, and you might want to get in on that. We'll let you know later about it. We'll be taking a small team there to serve with them next summer. And so there are missionaries all over the world that we're connected to through the International Mission Board. So we invite you to pray for them, especially this season. And I think specifically about the fact that those thousands of missionaries are different places around the world. And this past Thursday was Thanksgiving. They were not with their extended family. Christmas is coming in just less than 30 days. They will not be with their extended family. It's times like that that can be very difficult for them on the field. So we want to pray that even in those times, they will find the fact that God is using them and that he has a plan for them and they are part of his purposes for his kingdom's sake around the world. So would you join me in praying for them as we continue in worship? Now I want to go ahead and give you, two things else that I'll mention before we pray. First of all, pray for the family of Miss Rachel Sparks. Miss Rachel is a longtime member of First Baptist. I believe she joined the church in 1997 when she moved here from Panama City. and was so active in our worship ministry and in serving. She was one of the first people to ever serve as a volunteer in the office. She did so many, many hours, multiple days a week for many years. She, at the age of 91, this past week, went home to be with Jesus. And she had a rough couple of years, the last few years, in the nursing home in Hanceville. But we're so thankful that she is whole and complete and with the Lord, and we're so thankful for that. So the funeral for Miss Rachel will be tomorrow morning here at First Baptist from 9:30 to 10:30 will be a visitation, and 10:30 will be the funeral service. You may have originally heard it was 11. They had to change the time because of a burial situation in Tennessee. So 9:30 visitation, 10:30 funeral, but pray for her family as they will gather together and for her friends, and we hope you will participate with us tomorrow as we honor her life and worship the Lord. Then secondly, one of our very own leaders here in the church, he has served as chairman of deacons just recently, teaches young adult Sunday school, is involved in all kinds of ministry, Mr. Greg Henderson. Greg had a heart-related issue this week and will be getting prepped this afternoon, and tomorrow morning we'll be having quadruple bypass surgery. So pray for Greg and for the surgery to come tomorrow. And so I told him we would be praying for him in the service today, so we want to do so. So we have a lot to pray for just a moment as we continue on in worship. Let's pray. Father God, we take a second and we want to thank you that we can bring requests about our friends to you. So Lord, let me start with praying for the family of Rachel Sparks. Lord, they are not mourning. They are celebrating because Miss Rachel lived a long and fruitful life for you. And Lord, when the scripture tells us in Revelation that blessed are they that die in the Lord from now on, they will rest from their labors, for their deeds have followed them there. There is no doubt that her deeds have followed her to heaven. Praise God. Thank you for a life well lived. Father, I pray that you would be with this family in this time. Lord, we pray for Greg as he has surgery tomorrow. He's been such an integral part of our faith family. We're thankful for his leadership. We pray that the surgery would just be a textbook case and there'd be no issues at all, and that you would be his provider in all things tomorrow for that as it takes place, and for his recovery to be quick and full. Father, we take a moment to pray for our international missionaries serving around the world, that you would move in their lives even today. Remind them of the difference they are making. Put someone in their path to let them see that they're making a difference. Give them strength. And Lord, if they are frustrated or discouraged in any way, I pray that you would come alongside them. You, the one who brings comfort, the one who brings peace, the one who brings power, that you would come, that you would comfort them and help them and remind them. Lord, give them fruit for their labors. And Father, we pray for Lake City Assembly. Lord, I pray that you'll move in power today. Let revival break out there this morning in their worship service. Use them in power in their community. Thankful for their outreach for through 88.5, the radio station, through all the other things they do. Lord, what a blessing they are to our community. We pray you'd move there. But God, I'm going to ask now, would you move in this room among these people? God, my prayer is that you'd move in my heart and life. My prayer is that you can move in the hearts and lives of every person on this platform, every person playing an instrument, our tech guys, those serving in children's ministry this morning during this service, our security men. Father, for every person seated in this room, that every single one would have a glorious encounter with you, the living Savior. Father, that you would let them be reminded that there is joy in the house of the Lord. So, Father, may we sing about that joy now, and may we experience it in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together and sing, "There's Joy in the House of the Lord."
Christmas song of praise, away in the manger, no crib for bed.
Specifically to sing this song today with these new verses at the end. And the reason is this: we think of Away in a Manger as a children's song, really. But if Hayden, can you put back up the last verse, the very last verse right there? I worship you, Jesus, for all of my days. The highest of praises be unto your name. My God, my Savior, my King, and my friend, yours is the glory forever. Amen. Friends, we get to call him our God, our Savior, our King, and our friend. Let's sing that last little verse together. Just this: I worship you, Jesus.
I worship you, Jesus, for all of my days. The highest of praises be unto your name.
Sing it to him.
My God and my Savior, my King and my friend. Yours is the glory forever. Amen. For yours is the glory forever. Amen.
Oh, Jesus, our God, our Savior, our King, and our friend. There's no way we could ever put all those words together to describe the one true God if you had not come the humble way you did, brought salvation and new life and resurrection the way you did. So my prayer is that this season, as we look at the manger throne, that we would not just think of a children's song. We would not just think of a sweet lullaby that we like to sing the week of Christmas, but that we could be reminded that we love you for all you have done and that you are our God, our Savior, our King, and friend. And my prayer is that today you would allow us to worship you in spirit and in truth, and that today you would speak to us through your word, that everyone in this room would leave transformed by you. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated, friends. If you have a Bible, turn to Isaiah 61. We begin a new series from now through the end of December called Manger Throne. The Jewish people have been expecting the Messiah for over 1,700 years. Jacob had become Israel. The 12 tribes had begun, and they began to look for a Messiah to come and save them. So for 1,700 years, they were waiting on the promised one. They anticipate his arrival, and they had been let down time and time again. They thought someone was the Messiah and was not. And at Christmas time, I'll be honest, we have very high expectations that often bring about a letdown as well. We have expectations in holidays, don't we? It was Thanksgiving this last week. This is crowd participation time. Who enjoyed a wonderful Thanksgiving meal? Raise your hand and say amen. Amen. All right. Now listen, you are all dead to me right now because I'm just kidding. I had a special gift for Thanksgiving. It was a 24-hour stomach bug. And so missed all the family gatherings, missed all the food. I love to be with family and I love turkey and dressing. Missed it all, every bit of it. I had a high expectation of how this week was going to go, and it did not turn out the way I thought it was going to for part of that week. Some of you may have had the same experience. And as you head towards Christmas, you will have expectations for your family. You'll have expectations for traditions. You will have expectations maybe for your finances, expectations for what God might do and how you're going to feel and all the things that will happen. I want you to listen about expectations. Two children wrote letters to Santa Claus. Listen to these letters. First of all, dear Santa, there are three little boys who live at our house. There is Jeffrey, he is 2. There is David, he is 4. There is Norman, he is 7. Jeffrey is good some of the time. David is good some of the time. But Norman is good all the time. I am Norman. And so I thought that's a pretty good letter. He's got high expectations. How about this one? Dear Santa, you did not bring me anything good last year. You did not bring me anything good the year before that. This is your last chance. Signed, Alfred. High expectations. So expectations can be high. And honestly, if you have family traditions and you have extended family, you've got some expectations of what's to come over the next 30 days. I hope it works out just like you want, but it might not. And friends, what I would say to you is this, that when you think about expectations, if we take that to the scripture, the Jewish people had this incredible expectation of someone who would come and save them. And they had ideas of what that would look like and the military version of that and what it would be and all it would entail. But it just was not happening the way they thought. And about 700 years before Jesus, the Messiah, did show up, Isaiah penned some prophetic words in Isaiah 61. Listen to what Isaiah says about the Savior to come. Isaiah 61, beginning in verse 1. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." I love this beautiful words of prophecy that Isaiah wrote. What he is saying is an incredible description of the gifts that Jesus would bring 700 years later in the manger throne at that first Christmas. He says, good news to the poor. What does that mean? It means it was for everyone. Friends, don't miss this. The good news is for everyone. It's for you. It's for me. There is no lost cause on earth that cannot be redeemed. There are no dark parts of the world that the gospel can't transform. It's good news for everyone. Second, it says, bind up the brokenhearted. How do you bind up a heart? That means to bring peace. Friends, in this room, there's no broken heart in this room that God cannot bind up. If you come here today with a broken heart, Jesus is your peace. And I want you to reach out to him today. There's no chaos in your life that he cannot calm. Amen? It's truth. To proclaim liberty to the captives. What does that mean? He's offering forgiveness. Isaiah says the Savior will bring forgiveness. There is nothing that you have done that cannot be made new. Now, you need to grab a hold of that for a minute. There is no sin you've ever committed that God can't make new. There's nothing you've done. You do not have a past too dirty that he can't make clean. That is amazing. There's no decision you've made that can't be covered by his grace. And then he goes on, if you will read again, you will see he says to comfort all who mourn and to provide the oil of joy instead of mourning. So comfort and joy. We talk a lot about comfort and joy in December. We sing a lot about comfort and joy in December. All of these gifts show up in the manger throne. And all of these gifts are available for you and for me today. Now, would you turn from Isaiah in the Old Testament, move forward to the New Testament, the last third of your Bible, where Jesus shows up in Luke chapter 4. So Luke chapter 4, Jesus has been born. We read about it early in Luke. He has lived his life as a child, growing with his parents, Mary and Joseph. He then ends up later as a young man in ministry. He is baptized. He goes into the wilderness for 40 days. And at the beginning of his earthly ministry, he goes back to his hometown of Nazareth. And listen to what happens here as it relates to Isaiah 61, the prophecy given about him. Luke chapter 4, verse 14. It says, "And Jesus returned in the power of the Holy Spirit to Galilee, and a report about him went through all the surrounding country. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all." So Jesus comes to the region of Galilee and goes from city to city, village to village, teaching in the synagogues. Now verse 16. "And he came to Nazareth," Jesus of Nazareth, where he lived most of his life. "He came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. And he unrolled the scroll, and he found the place where it was written, and he says this," now quoting Isaiah 61, he reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then he rolled up the scroll. He gave it back to the attendant and he sat down. And the scripture says, "And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them," listen to these words, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." He's telling them, "When I read this to you, I am fulfilling what you have just heard." And all spoke well of him and marveled at the gracious words that were coming from his mouth. And they said, is this not Joseph's son? It's an incredible passage. Jesus reads from Isaiah the prophecy about him that no one knew it was about him except him. And he takes and he reads it and then he tells them, this has been fulfilled in your hearing right now. They still weren't grasping what he was saying exactly at this point, so he kept talking. But before he did, notice what it says. They all said, is this not Joseph's son? Do you realize when you see every manger scene, there is a picture of Mary and Joseph together? You'll see it in the nativity in the atrium. You'll see it in the nativities in my office. You'll see it on your mantle in different places. Mary and Joseph always together. But in the scripture, this is the last place that Joseph is mentioned. He fades into obscurity, and we don't know much about him after this. And then Jesus headlong heads into war. It's a war for the next 2.5 years of his life. It's a war that would be taken to the cross and then won with the empty tomb. You say, how do we know it's a war? It starts right here with turmoil. If you were to read the next few verses, you would see Jesus then sets the people straight that they have not been following the ways of God. And he makes sure that they understand he is saying he is the Messiah. And it begins to infuriate them. Let's look now at verse 28, Luke 4:28. These same people who were in awe and saying, is this not Joseph's son? He's such a good prophet. Wow. Wow, such great words. And now they have turned to anger. And look what happens in Luke 4:28. When they heard these things that Jesus had said, all in the synagogue were filled with wrath. And they rose up and drove him out of town and brought him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built so that they could throw him down the cliff. But passing through their midst, he went away. This is the first time someone tried to kill Jesus outside of Herod at the manger scene. This is the first time now as an adult it comes to the place where his life is going to be taken. And so these Jewish people who did not understand that he was the Messiah, they were angered by his words. They take him to the edge of the cliff to throw him off, which would have been customary of someone who had committed blasphemy. And Jesus, it says, he passes through their midst, he went away. Listen, friends, let me start by telling you this. You're not going to kill Jesus till Jesus wants to die. Amen? Listen, that's the Savior. Listen, that doesn't happen. He is the founder of the world. He was there when the world was created. He'll be there when the world is destroyed. He will be there when the new Jerusalem comes down. Jesus only does what Jesus wants to do, what the Father tells him to do. He won't be bound by men ever again. He went to the cross willingly for us. They couldn't have forced it on him if they wanted to. But here, the message we learn from Jesus' hometown is this, and don't miss this because it'll apply to your life and mine. Here's what the message of the hometown is. You can be near Jesus and not know Jesus. You can be familiar with Jesus and not have faith in Jesus. And you can know his family but not know him. So friends, my question for you in this Christmas season is this. Have you received what Jesus delivered 2,000 years ago? You can attend church a long time and not know Jesus. And I'm not trying to make you doubt your salvation, but I want to make sure you've not just found the familiarity of worship and church and you've missed the Savior in any way. Are you experiencing the gifts of Isaiah 61? What are they? Good news and peace and forgiveness and comfort and joy. Do you have joy in your life today? Listen, joy is not happiness. We've said this many times. Happiness is based on circumstance. Joy is based on the great God King who comes and reigns in our lives. So at Christmas time, we sing joy to the world. We sing about comfort and joy. We sing about heavenly peace. But please write this down if you're writing anything down. His story is not your story until you meet the Messiah King. Let me say it again. His story is not your story until you meet the Messiah King. Now you may say, Chris, I've been going to church fairly often my whole life. You're telling me I might not know the Lord? I'm saying I've gone to the gym off and on my entire life, and I am not a bodybuilder. You might not know the Lord is what I'm saying. So I want to encourage you to inspect your fruit. Inspect my fruit. You don't look at me and say bodybuilder. And I'll be honest. You need to inspect your own fruit. Now, I'm not going to try to be the judge of whether you know Jesus or not, but the Lord knows, and I want to encourage you to inspect your own fruit. Have you been near him but not know him? Have you been familiar with him and his family and the faith, but maybe not had that faith on your own? If that's the case, listen, I want you to understand something. There's no bit of holiday sentimental feelings that will take the place of an encounter with the Savior. And so in December, we want to create, and I want to create, lots of holiday sentimental feelings. But we can't substitute holiday sentimentality for the saving grace of Jesus. We must know him as our Savior. If you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, I want to encourage you to do so right now. And I realize that a lot of people in this room already know the Lord, but it's so important that we remind people of the opportunities they have to give their life to Jesus. So please give me your attention, everybody in the room, every person online, every person on the radio. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him might not perish, but have everlasting life." You are part of whosoever. Whosoever means anyone. Whosoever believes in him. That's not to believe he exists. We can sing "Joy to the World" and "Away in a Manger" and believe he exists, but it's more than believe. It's to believe on him. It's to, by faith, to know that he is the Savior. Believes in him shall have everlasting life. Why do we need everlasting life? Because we have all earned everlasting death. Let me start there for a moment. Romans 3:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." The wage, what we have earned, is death. And that does not mean that you will die someday. Everybody dies someday. The question is, do we spend eternity with God or without him? So it's eternal death or eternal life. So the wages of sin is death. It's separation from God. But the gift of God is eternal life. Romans 6:23, and then we also see the scripture that tells us, "For all have sinned," in Romans 3:23, "and fall short of God's glory." Everybody in this room has fallen short, and then the penalty of that is separation, but God provides a gift. Where does the gift come from? Romans 5:8, "But God demonstrates his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Jesus died for us." And so I want to say to you today, if you've never given your life to Jesus, maybe you've attended church many times. Maybe you've been around believers many times. Listen, today's the day. If you're not certain you have Jesus in your life right now, would you just stop and say, "Jesus, I need you. Would you change me? Would you come into my life and save me?" There's no magic words. It's really not. It's your heart and your mind repenting. What does it mean to repent? If repent means if you're walking one way, you turn and walk the other. It's to change direction. So it's not that you will walk in perfection. It's that you change your mind and say, "God, I want your ways. I repent. I turn to you. I need your saving grace." And God, who is rich in mercy, will come and bring salvation to you. So if you've never done that, please, at the beginning of this holiday season, don't look for all the sentimental holiday things that are going to be great and coming. Make sure you have the Savior. Stop and give your life to him now. But if you're here, like the majority of us who do know Jesus, then what about you? Are you living out what he brought to us at that manger throne? Are we living out what we find here in Isaiah 61? Are you experiencing peace, forgiveness, comfort, and joy today? There is a simple way to do so, and here it is. This is how you have it. You have to abide in Christ. You won't have all those things just because you know Jesus. I know plenty of people who have been saved by the blood of Jesus. They are walking in him. They have him in their life, but through circumstance and situation, they are not walking in joy and peace in the moment. So friends, you have to abide in Christ for that. Jesus puts it this way in John 15. Listen to his words. "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy," the joy of Jesus, "may be in you, and that your joy may be full." So what does he say? He says, if you want my joy, you've got to abide in me. If you want to have your joy full, you have to abide in me. What does it mean to abide in him? It means to walk in his ways. How do you walk in his ways? You must be in his word. Listen, friends, I want to be clear. You will not walk in the ways of Jesus without the words of Jesus. You have to be in God's word. Don't think for a moment you can abide in Christ and never open your Bible. Let me say that again, because some of you might not really believe me that I'm speaking the truth about that. I believe the scripture is clear when it tells us all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. I believe the scripture when it tells us that his word is living and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. I believe the scripture when it tells us that his words we have hidden in our hearts, that we might not sin against him, and on and on and on we could go. You cannot abide in Christ without abiding in God's word. So if you have been absent of your time with the Lord and all you get of God's word is what you get on Sunday, I love you, friend, but I want you to know you're not abiding in him. And you can have a different level of peace, comfort, joy, of true power in him, but it must be through the holy, infallible word of God. We learn and take it in. So be in his word and then live it out. Pray, spend that time getting to know him and asking him to use your life for his kingdom's purposes. And then he says here, it's important to live out his commandments, to do what he says. He tells us to grow closer to him. He tells us to live it out, to love others, to serve and share. So to abide is active. You would think the word abide would be like resting, sort of like a baby in a manger. But it's not. To abide is to walk. It's to be active. Now, God does the work. You'll never work and earn your salvation, but you have a part to play in living out your salvation now. So to abide in him, if you want that peace, if you want that joy, you want that comfort. Listen, if your family's a mess and you don't look with anticipation for the sentimental time you're going to have with family, but you look with a little concern and worry and anxiety about what's to come, listen, you need Jesus to help you through that. You need him to help you abide and live the way he would have you to and what he would do. A holiday will never fulfill in you what only a Savior King can do. It's just the truth. So I encourage you with that. Only walking closely with Jesus, only being transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit, will we ever find a lasting, real comfort and joy. So all this season has to offer you will be great, but it will be temporary, and it'll be gone and disappear about as quick as January's credit card bills are going to show up, friends. And so it's important that we don't make it all about that, okay? It's important that we come to understand we can abide in Christ. Let this next 30 days be some special days as you abide in him. King Jesus offers so much more than happiness. He offers joy. So would you bow before the manger throne today? Would you pray with me, your heads bowed? Just want to give you a little privacy for a moment. First of all, if you're here and you realize that you don't have a relationship with Jesus, it's been superficial at some point, and you really want to settle that today, right now, would you pray and give your life to Jesus? There's no magic words. It's you, your heart, saying, God, I need you. Take me, change me, make me new. Help me to live for you. But if you're here and you do know him, and you realize that you wouldn't characterize the last 30 days of your life with comfort and joy. You wouldn't characterize it with being one that the captive that's been set free, that's had liberty in your life. Maybe you find yourself in some sort of bondage to your own ways or to your thoughts or emotions or to some addiction. I don't know. If that's the case, friends, would you start to abide in him? What's the best way to do that? Start with getting on your knees and saying, God, I need you. Help me. And then get in his word. And then get about his business. Do the things he tells us to do. Don't overcomplicate it. Read God's word. Read what Jesus said and do it. Ask him to help you love the way he loves, to serve the way he serves, to show kindness the way he showed kindness, to abide in him. Maybe for you today, with your heads bowed, you realize that even as we've sung some Christmas songs today, that you have been walking in his comfort and joy, but you want a renewed version of that. You today want to know and make a renewed commitment that he will be the Messiah King in your life. Not just the Messiah King on paper, but the Messiah King in your life to rule and reign in your heart. Would you make a renewed commitment to him right now in your life? Father God, if there's anyone here today that doesn't know you, I pray they would give their life to you. Father, for those that do know you, Lord, let us experience your peace, Let us experience your joy. Let us experience the Holy Spirit's power. God, let this season be a season where we have true personal revival because we are abiding in you more and more. And Father, for the broken heart in the room, I pray that they would know that you bind up the broken heart. For the person that's in captivity in this room, dealing with an addiction or a problem or an emotional issue or a family issue, God, I pray that you would proclaim liberty over them today. Father, for others that just need your work, God, that you would move today. Father, have your way among us now. In Jesus' name.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.